Fandom Podcast Network, you say? Well, what a marvellous thing. This is Lyman Curlow here with Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to episode 115 of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On the show, we cover all things Highlander, including the movies, the TV series, guest interviews, novels, audiobooks, comics, special events, and interviews and reports from our Seacover 2019 tour, part 5, our last installment of this fun and awesome series. I'm Kevin, your Blood of Kings Highlander podcast host. Now, as I mentioned, this will be part 5 and the final part of the Seacover tour experience that I had with Andy Sloan. This last April 2019, yours truly, Kevin Reitzel, joined location master Andy Sloan for his Seacover 2019 tour in the beautiful city of Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Vancouver, Canada provided the filming locations for the fictitious city of Seacover for the 1990s Highlander TV show. The first half of each season was filmed in Vancouver, then the second half of the season moved production and location to Paris, France. Andy Sloan has been running these tours of Seacover, Vancouver for several years. His knowledge of the Highlander filming locations is extensive and very well organized and researched. I spent a week in Vancouver with Andy touring many locations from most of the Highlander filming locations in Vancouver, in the Vancouver area, which included many fan favorite episodes and iconic Highlander scenes and locations. I'm really excited that I've been sharing my adventures and interviews from Andy Sloan's Seacover 2019 tour. Recently, I've been posting many of the videos that I took on this tour of the filming locations to the Blood of Kings Highlander Fandom Facebook group. Please head on over there. If you look under the photo section of the page, you'll find many of them there. I recorded over 50 videos, and they were a lot of fun. By the time this episode comes out, I believe all the videos will be up, but I'm also going to be still putting out a bunch of pictures too. So this is Blood of Kings 115, Seacover Tour Chronicles Part 5, our interview with Highlander actor Jay Brazzo and Song of the Executioner theater supervisor Paul Bartlett. Now, Paul works at the theater where the episode Song of the Executioner, the famous scene where Duncan and Kalis fight, and instead of getting beheaded, Duncan falls from the balcony and dies in front of Anne Lindsay. That was a fascinating interview. But before we go on, I want to let you know what else has been happening on Blood of Kings. Of course, during this Seacover Tour Chronicles, Part 4, we had an awesome interview with our Highlander alumni, F. Bron McAsh, who was the Swordmaster for the Highlander TV series, and Gillian Horvath. Of course, she was one of the writers and creative consultants as well, and it was really fun to get them together and talk about Highlander. Previously, we had episode 113, part 3 of the Seacover Tour Chronicles, where we interviewed production designer Steve Gagan and sculptor and art director Susan Suki Parker. We also had on episode 12, Seacover Tour Chronicles, that was part 2, we had an interview with Highlander television director Richard Martin. And of course, we started this all off with part 1 of the Seacover Tour Chronicles with our interview with the location master himself, Mr. Andy Sloan, where we talked about the previous week of all the fun that we had traveling all around Vancouver, outside of Vancouver, to all these wonderful locations and talking about our stories and about how he goes about his process and how passionate he is about this project. And also on that episode, we interviewed Highlander actor Kim Kondrashoff. So make sure you check those out. This is, of course, episode 115, our interview with actor Jay Brazzo and, of course, Paul Bartlett. But before we move on, we'll let you know how you guys can contact us here at Blood of Kings. I want to thank all you fans for listening and supporting the show and posting all your great pictures on the Facebook page and videos and sharing your wonderful stories. But if you'd like to get in touch with us online and through social media, here's how you can. You can contact us here on Blood of Kings. You can find Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.pod. podbean.com. The FPNet is also on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network is now on Apple Podcast, formerly iTunes. We're also on Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Bloody Kings Pod. Of course, as I mentioned, we have the Facebook group, Bloody Kings, a Highlander fandom group. We also have the sister page, the Bloody Kings Highlander CCG collectible card game and gaming group on Facebook. If you'd like to contact us directly, you can email us at bloodykingspodcast@gmail.com. My name is Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. You can find my Fandom Podcast Network co-founder Kyle on Twitter at AKyleW and also on Instagram at AKyleFandom. Now, if you want to be part of future Seacouver tours, you got to get a hold of Andy Sloan, and I highly recommend it. Hopefully, these videos and these interviews will excite you guys, and go ahead and take the leap and contact him for future tours. And you can do that by contacting Andy by email at andysloan@hotmail.com. You can also find him on Twitter at locationsmaster, and also you can find Andy Sloan on Facebook. His last name is spelled Sloane. All right, next. There's two ways you can support the Fandom Podcast Network and Bloody Kings. Of course, first of all, you can leave us a review. Head on over to Apple Podcast, formerly iTunes, and we would love a rated review. We love 5 stars, of course, but we love feedback in general. You can also visit our Fandom Podcast Network and Bloody Kings store at the Tee Public store. You can get your own Bloody Kings t-shirt and other apparel. Please visit Tee Public and search for Bloody Kings or Fandom Podcast Network, and you'll see some great logos from Bloody Kings, and you can put those on some awesome apparel. All right. Now, as we also like to do, we love and support the Sword Experience that is run by, of course, Highlander star Adrian Paul. You can go to swordxp.com and find out some tour dates there. Coming soon, they got some wonderful events in France, Panama, Boston, Seattle, and many more are going to be mentioned. I've done this myself a couple of times. Make sure you check this out. It is a wonderful experience, and Adrian Paul is awesome with his fans. If you are wondering about the Sword Experience itself and you want to share it with other fans, or you want to learn more about it and see what other fans are saying, there's two great fan Facebook groups I recommend. There's Priscilla Manriguez's Facebook group called Sword Experience Participants. Experience is spelled with an X. We also have SXP, the Ultimate Sword Experience fan group, that's run by Riley, Shan, Selena, Lonnie, and Gail. Make sure you check those out. All right, here we are. Main topic, Bloody Kings 115, Seacouver Tour Chronicles Part 5, the final Chronicles here regarding the Seacouver Tour. We hope you've enjoyed the previous ones. This is the interview with Highlander actor Jay Brazzo and, of course, the Song of the Executioner theater supervisor Paul Bartlett. As I mentioned earlier, Andy and I were blessed with fantastic weather this whole week that we were there. Some of the highlights, as we mentioned, we met up with Gillian and we went to go see Jim Burns, who, of course, played Joe Dawson in the Highlander TV series. We got to see him live in concert with his blues band. And if you guys are ever in the area and you get a chance to see him, I highly recommend it. It was a bucket list item. And I got a chance to meet Jim afterwards and get a picture with him and talk to him briefly. We also met up with Gillian again. And we got to meet up with F. Braun McAsh. And we did some Vancouver, Seacouver tour locations with those guys. And that was a lot of fun. As I mentioned, we have some previous interviews. Make sure you check them out with Kim Kondershoff, Steve Gagan, the Highlander production designer, and Susan Suki Parker, who's the sculptor and art director. Of course, we did an interview with Richard Martin, Highlander TV series director. So make sure you go back and check those out. Now, I want to mention this, the first interview that we did with Jay Brazzo, we did it in a public location. There was some outside sounds. You still get the interview, but we apologize. We had to do some of these interviews on the go, and we didn't have the luxury of going to a sound studio. But we did get a great interview with Jay, and we want you guys to check that out. Now, Jay Brazzo is a great guy. He is really, really, really funny. He has been a very busy working actor. If you check out Jay's IMDb, you'll realize you have seen his face. He has been in so many things. He was in The Watchmen. He was in Horns, Insomnia, House of the Dead. But if you look at his stuff, he's also done a lot of voice acting too. He's got a great voice. And he just has an extensive career. He's been one of the busiest working actors there in Vancouver. Of course, he's done he's traveled outside of Vancouver and done a lot of stuff as well. And he took time out of his busy schedule to come see us. And I highly recommend that you check out some of his work. Wonderful guy, of course. But we know him more from Highlander. He played Commissioner Kaminsky in the episode Free Fall and also Bad Day in Building A. And we talked to him about his experience working on these episodes and working on Highlander and a little bit about his history in acting. Wonderful guy. We hope you guys enjoy our interview with Jay Brazzo. Here it is. Hello, Bloody Kings and Highlander fans. I got a very special guest for you. I am currently on the Seacouver 2019 tour here with Andy Sloan, checking out all the wonderful locations in Vancouver where Highlander, the TV series, was filmed. And my special guest is Jay Brazzo, who played Lieutenant Stanley Stosh Kaminsky on the episodes Free Fall and Bad Day in Building A. First of all, Jay, thank you for coming.
Hey. I'm already going A. Yeah, it's great to be here.
I really appreciate it. If you guys, Jay's got one of those faces where when you see stuff, I know that guy. He's been in so many wonderful productions. But we have him here because we're big Highlander fans and he's been on Highlander. Jay, first of all, give me a little background on your acting history.
Oh, my God.
Briefly.
It all started... No. Well, I just turned about 65 this year, so I've been a member of Canadian American Actors Equity for about 42 years or 44 years now, and I've just done lots of stuff. I've had an interesting life. I have a grade 11 education. Kids out there, go to university. And I've never went to an acting school as such, but because being the kind of guy I am, you know, I'm bald, I'm overweight, there's always guys like me somewhere, in a movie somewhere, you know. I was able to just convince people to put me in their films.
I think too, what's cool though about you is you've got this smile that I noticed that I think is very inviting, and I'm serious, and I see why you seem approachable as well. You seem like a good guy, so I see why people want to get you for stuff like that.
Well, I think when you audition, people always assume it's all about being the part and being really good, you know. A lot of times I think it's about forming a relationship when I go in, and especially now, the person is judging you. Will this person be good in this part as the commissioner? In the old days it was, I got to get this part. I got to be here. I got to be character, you know? And I think after a while, if I was directing a thing, you want to have people around you just like and support you, right? So I think, you know, to all the actors out there, if you're going in for a part, you know, as they're auditioning you, you have to audition them, right? And say, do I really want to hang around these guys in a rainy night shoot,
right?
You know.
Well, obviously you've been in Canada. You were born in Canada. You've been working steadily, heavily out of here. Mm-hmm. Before you got the role for Highlander, were you familiar with Highlander at all?
I think I had seen the Sean Connery, the first film.
Right.
Thought it was pretty cool because, I mean, Sean Connery, you know, Hogan, I could see it. I loved him. He's great. And it was so beautiful. Where was it shot, the first one? Do you remember?
It was shot in Scotland and in London mostly. A lot of the London locations stood in for like New York locations. They did do some filming in New York, but most of it was in Scotland.
Oh,
and London.
It was just beautiful.
I mean,
it was
amazing.
Wales, another place. I mean, it's just great. I'm going to be going over there soon, so I'm looking forward to visiting some of these places.
That's awesome. Now, tell us about how you got the role as Lieutenant Stanley Stosh Kaminsky. Your first episode was Free Fall. Probably just another job to you, but what was it that stood out for you on that production?
Well, I think it was one of those things where it was quick. I got to say, you got an audition. It was in the afternoon. I don't think I was even approached a day before or anything. You got to come and you got to come. There's an audition today. Why? And, you know, why? I don't know. Somebody got fired or something, right? So I went down to the audition. It was a really nice audition. It was great. I seemed to pass all the things. I didn't even know. It was one of those things where you're on the way home, you know, you're forgotten about, and you get the call, okay, they want you. Oh, I said, well, that's great. And when do we start? They said, tomorrow. So it was one of those fast things, just came out of nowhere. And there were a lot of people there too, a lot of friends and everything. That's the great thing about being in Vancouver, is when you go in there, you have a lot of friends, so you're just happy if one of them gets it.
People you know? You've worked with
yeah.
before.
Oh, yeah, lots of people, you know. Yeah. A guy named Stevie Miller, I don't know if you've ever been with all the guys. Jim Burns, I'm sure, I don't know
yes,
if he was there.
Yes, Jim Burns,
but,
yeah.
But we all went up for the role, and I was the lucky guy. And I did the first, we had a great time. I knew the director. I worked with another guy, Duncan Fraser. I think on the first show. I'm not sure if this was Jorge's thing, or it could be Tom Wright's. Anyway, I know that we did the impossible. Well, I know, like I said, we did the impossible. We had to, it took place, I forget, somewhere. Somebody, it was some kind of hostage situation thing. But we did, I think, so many scenes. I think we did something like 15 pages in one morning or one day.
Wow.
That was the second episode.
Yeah,
that's
bad
right.
Day
yeah.
in building.
That
yeah.
was it. That was
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But I know, yeah, I did the first one, and it was great. We had a great time. Tom Wright, I think, was the
that's
first
one. The one with Joan Jett in it.
Joan Jett, exactly. I think I saw her around, you know. Yeah. Very interesting person. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I did the second one, and things were going great. I thought, well, this is wonderful. They got a gig on the show and everything. And I think about a week later, I think they said they want to talk to you. What do you mean you want to talk to me? Oh, yeah, they want you to just come down to talk. Oh, okay. So I went down to talk, and then there was another writer there. He said, the producer wants to talk to you about the character or something. So I went down there, tried to come 2 o'clock, you know, and it was waited for till about 4 o'clock where nobody showed up. There was another person there that went to another writer. And she's not here. She said, we'll get back to you on this, right? I think then I knew something was going up. So I said to the other writer guy, well, look, see you, because I don't think we'll be seeing each other again.
Oh, no.
So I went back, and this director, Marla Ginsburg, I think, she just didn't, for some reason, like me. Now, in these situations, I know, because I've been in like this situation before, where somebody gets fired, you replace them, which happened to me. And then, because I know, because a lot of people were at the first audition, were auditioning again. Another friend of mine got hired. Great, he replaced me. It was great. And apparently he got fired.
Mm.
And then as the story goes, you know, somebody's friend, I guess, becomes available. Right, so and you that person ends up getting the job, and but this person was a producer. She was apparently the stuff she said about me. Tommy told me she said I was a, you know, I look like a rabbi. I don't look like the guy, you know, whatever. I guess I didn't look in her mind or what.
Mm.
And a lot of other friends were on the show and they got fired. So sometimes that happens too.
Well, there was a lot of turnover in that show
first,
in that first
year.
Season.
Yeah, yes,
yeah. And
exactly.
It wasn't until about a little bit halfway through when they brought in David Abramowitz, things started to change. So
sometimes.
You weren't the only one.
Yes,
yeah, so
I know
yeah.
it happens a lot. Yeah. And it's, you know, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
I had an audition once. This was an interesting audition too for a film with, I think, with one of the guys who actually... It was in. It was the lead in the movie. His name is Christopher. What,
Christopher Lambert.
Christopher Lambert
yeah.
movie. And when I went in, a lot of people were brought in, and I couldn't understand some of the script. It was about chess or something, and I can't remember.
Night Moves.
Night Moves. That's
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
I was brought in.
Yeah. It's a very busy day here.
That's right. Night Moves. Exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
So I go in and. I asked a few questions. I says, anything you'd like to ask? So, yeah, I have a few questions. I didn't understand something at the ending, and then the director sort of explained it to me and everything. I said, oh, okay. Oh, thank you. So I did the audition, and I thought, that's a really good job. That's going to be fun to be in if I get the chance, you know. So I phoned my agent up next day after a couple of days. I said, whatever that Night Watch thing, did I get it? There's no, still auditioning. Well, he said, that's so bad. I thought I did a good job. And they said, my agent said, Jay, you probably did. But I don't know what you did, but they hated you. The director hated you.
Oh, no.
He talked to him back, and he said, we tried to maybe get another season. We never want to see him again.
Oh, no.
So I don't know what I did, but apparently, I guess what I did was... It was like kill the messenger.
Oh, no.
I think maybe I was the 10th person who asked him about... The director, the result of the writer, about what I didn't understand about the thing. So I think that was my mistake.
Wow.
So sometimes having a big mouth doesn't help. You know.
You mentioned, okay, so did you spend much time working with Joan Jett at all? Did you talk to her much? What was she like on
much.
Set?
I think people are generally nice on the thing, you know? You're having a good time. I haven't had any problems, you know, usually with anybody, you know, and had great relationships with people.
What was it like working with Adrian Paul?
Oh, he was great. He was really nice. Yeah. It's nice that when you have somebody who's taken over something and he's really interested in other people, you know?
Yeah, I've heard that about him.
Yeah, all the people on were nice. The set had some of the best crew in town. It was a fabulous. I remember watching. I think Joan Jett or somebody. I think they were practicing sword fighting and stuff like that. I thought, wow, this is going to be really cool. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you do your best you can do, right? You do your thing, and at least I got a couple of shows on. It's all right, and it's fine. You know, you can't sort of wallow in that kind of thing. And that was one of the first things I think I'd ever been fired for, and that was okay. So. It's going to happen.
Right.
Sometimes some people just don't like you. What are you going to do?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if I don't think I would blame that on you personally. There's just a lot of stuff going on back then.
So. Oh, well, it is a lot of things changing, stuff like that, you know.
Yeah. Well, was there anything else in working with Highlander? Did you feel that it was like something special at the time? Was there anything that stood out for you, you know, that you remember?
I think a lot of people really wanted to get involved with it. At that time, I think the movie was really hot and everything, and things were happening. And I think that... I think that it was a special place to try to get, you know, trying to get, everybody was trying to get in on that show because it was a really hot show and it was filming in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really nice to, you know, to score something on there. And they were really nice. They were hiring a lot of local people and getting a lot of these stars, a lot of rock and roll stars. Who were some of the people? I can't remember them.
Roger Daltrey was on
Roger Daltrey, and he was a very good actor.
Roland Gift was on there as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, see, yeah.
They were kind of going with a rock and roll guest star theme for them.
Sheena Easton. Oh, I remember seeing Sheena Easton in Man of La Mancha in New York. Fabulous singer and fabulous, you know. So it's really neat, you know.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, you know Jim Burns, and you mentioned that you've worked with him before. Tell me about that.
Oh, Jim, what an asshole. Jim has the best jokes ever, you know. We did a show called, you know, Christmas Carol, that old chestnut. I originally did Scrooge it, and he was playing, I forget, Marley or something. And I did for about 6 years. We did stuff on there, and then I think he took over. And so... Jim is just a wonderful person. He's a musician. He's wonderfully great at what he does.
We just saw him play on Friday night with his band. He was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's look what he's gone through already, right? And he's able to combat that and to still be an actor and just fulfill his dream, right?
Yeah.
And not bother him at all. You don't see it. It's like anybody that happens. You don't see it.
Well, you worked with him on an episode of Wise Guy. Is that right?
Oh, that was the other thing. Starting with Wise Guy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that was another fun show to be. And he's just... You do know everybody in town. It's like you can't have an affair with somebody. It's being a cousin. Right? You know, it's such a small town in that respect. But Jim has always been a great guy to be with, you know? He's real, you know. I mean, where does he come from? In Missouri or something like that?
Yeah.
And New Orleans. I mean, the stories he has. He's an artist. He's a musician.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great.
When you look back on your career, is there any particular, other than Highlander, of course, was there any other particular highlights that you look fondly back on productions and movies or plays that you worked on?
Oh, geez. My gosh. Most recently, a while back, I did, what is it? The Psycho thing. What was it? What was the Psycho series?
With the young Bates, right?
Bates Motel. I did Bates Motel.
Yeah.
Had an audition and never got on. And finally, during one of the crucial scenes, I think, I got to go on. And my God, they were just so wonderful.
That's great.
Luckily, the director I worked with about 20 years before on Jump Street remembered me, and I got hired as the fellow who ran the funeral parlor in a very important episode, you know, because I wasn't allowed to read anything else. There were some really secretive things happening at that point. They didn't want anything to get out, and it turned out to be a great episode. Vera was so fantastic, you know.
The one thing the last thing I wanted to ask was that during the 90s, probably the late 80s, 90s, it seems like Vancouver was becoming the new Hollywood.
Yes.
What was it like working during that time? Because the television and movie industry was just booming during that time.
It's interesting. I came here just when it was starting, right? So the idea of being in a place like this, first of all, you figure, what's so good about Vancouver? Why is it there? And why are they here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they're here because they got great locations. And, you know, sometimes it rains, you know. Sometimes it's great when it rains because people like X-Files was here for so long and the rain really helped. It became sort of a kind of place where they would do a lot of ghosts, that kind of, you know, ethereal kind of different things, you know. And then I think people liked being here, especially the producers, because they could just, the producers, actors could fly home on the weekend. They could phone the producer and not wake him up if they were shooting in Toronto.
Right.
It just became, and I think a lot of the actors in the beginning, because there was a lot of flack in the beginning, saying, what are we doing here? Why are we here? I think it was, what's his name? We did all the Jump Streets, the wise guys.
Stephen
Candle came here first of all, you know.
Yeah.
He was the first person to actually start hiring a lot of the Canadians.
Seems like he kind of started that movement, maybe.
Yes, well, he thought, well, like, you know.
With his production company.
I always would tell people I can work for, you know. I'm sorry, what did I say? My mind goes, even you're 65. Senior moment, folks. I think that he realized that he could save a lot of money by doing that.
Yeah.
And all of us owe it to him, really, a lot of the actors here in town, because we were cast in a lot of those shows, and we learned how to act.
Right.
We learned how to say rough, you know, and stuff, and to talk like, you know. I was lucky. I'm from Winnipeg, and I sort of have a kind of American accent because I talk through my nose a lot, you know. But other people had to, you know, get away from, hey, what are you doing? Hey.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, so, and he started that thing rolling here. And then a lot of the actors who work here in the beginning, well, they'd say, well, hey, what am I here? I hate being here. I'll be back there. And they're thinking, wait a minute. My per diem is worth more, a lot more. And I got a great place to stay, even bigger than down where I am. And I walk down the street and nobody bugs me.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool thing for a lot of people.
That's awesome.
And there was great crews that were just happening. And, you know, I think Hollywood was a great place, but, you know, like any place, it's hard sometimes, you know. Prices go up on different things. And they were getting great deals and shooting up here. Now, of course, it's Atlanta, right? That's the next thing.
Yeah.
Everything is shot in Atlanta these days, you know? And we all learned together, and all the unions worked hand in hand with each other to try to make the Vancouver thing happen, including the actors union, you know?
Well,
and my God, it was great. You got to meet fantastic people.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked with Al Pacino. I worked with Rob De Niro, Sean Penn.
Johnny Depp,
oh my God, Ashley Juddy, Tom Lee Jones, tons of people I would never be able to work with, but I've always had a great time working on the movie set.
That's fantastic.
You know, in the beginning, after a while, I didn't know anybody in the beginning, right? But after a while, we knew more people on the set than the other producers, right? It was like a whole home week. Now it's changed because there's just so much stuff there when I go back on again. There was just new crews, new things. You find out you're working with the director, the guy who's doing running the camera, and they find out they worked with his son was the first and everybody's related, you know.
Yeah,
it's really an incredible place here. It really is.
Well, Jay, I want to say, first of all, from a fellow Highlander fans, because we are very passionate about all things Highlander, we love talking to guests on the show, and I want to first of all thank you for making the time for us for our visit here in Vancouver. So thank you very much.
Well, I gotta tell you this, you know, I would be nothing, and all any of us would never be without the fans.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing you always have to remember, you know. There are people who put us in our place, gave us fame, and you have to at all times, you know. You have a relationship with them. You owe something back to them. So all you actors out there, remember that. Sign autographs.
This is Kevin with Blood of Kings. Andy and everyone, thank you so much. And Jay, again, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. All right, we hope you guys enjoyed Jay Brazzo's interview. Wonderful human being, very funny guy. Love following him on Facebook. And please check out his other work as well. I guarantee you have seen something that he is in. Before we move on to our next interview, I want to let you guys check out our Fandom Podcast Network promo, letting you know what else is on the network. Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture.
For you Highlander fans, we've got Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we cover all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater is for you movie buffs, our podcast celebrating the cult classics and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. We also have End Zone for you NFL fans, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris discussing the master of suspense, Alfred Hitchcock. And for you Star Trek Discovery and Orville fans, we have Discoville, talking about everything Discovery and the Orville. And for you hard rock music fans, we have the Hair Metal podcast. The Hair Metal podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And we also have Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we discuss all things Doctor Who, both past and present. And our newest podcast, Lethal Mullet, our podcast celebrating action movies from the 1980s with your host, Adam P. O'Brien. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play, and now on Spotify. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network, on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at FandomPodcastNetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom. All right, welcome back, guys. Now, the last interview that we have here, this was a really cool thing that we did. Andy took me to a wonderful location in Richmond, British Columbia. And Richmond is just south of Vancouver. And what was really cool was that this was the theater where the famous fight scene between Duncan and Kalis in Song of the Executioner that was set in present day, where they fight in the theater, and then it takes them up into the balcony, and, you know, when you see a fight head up to the balcony, you know something's going to go wrong. And this is where Kalis gets the best of Duncan, and Duncan's hanging for his life over the edge of the balcony. And so he's not beheaded, and this is right when Anne Lindsay comes into the scene. Duncan decides to fall to his death, and he falls down onto the chairs below, and he dies in front of Anne. Now, this was a really, really cool location. And what was really neat was that Andy has talked with Paul Bartlett before and toured this location. And we had an appointment with him. And it was really cool because we got to go to the theater. There wasn't anything happening at that time. There was a production that was coming up. And this is, when you look on the outside of the theater, it looks very modern. The theater, I think, was opened in the mid to late 80s. And Paul has been with this theater all this time. And now he is the building services supervisor, meaning he's the guy with all the keys, and he knows this theater inside and out, and he has been with the theater through all the renovations and all the changes. And we had a full tour of the entire theater. We got to go and check out the main theater where everyone gets to sit. We also got to check out down below. We got to check behind the stage, and we also got to go up in the rafters where the lighting was and look down. It was great. This is a very cool theater. They do movies, but they do a lot of theater production there, a lot of seasonal stuff. And it was really nice to see behind the scenes. And he gave us time to take pictures. And of course, Andy and I took some fun pictures. And of course, I reenacted the scene where Duncan falls. Didn't literally fall, but I got to lay in the same location on the chairs where Adrian Paul playing Duncan fell to his death, and that was kind of fun. So I want to first of all thank Paul for his wonderful time, and we actually sat down and talked to him for about 10 or 15 minutes about that day, that those days of shooting there at the theater while they were filming the scene. It was very fascinating. And he gets to talk about his personal experience there of what it was like to be there for this production. So I'd like to introduce our interview with Paul Bartlett, the Gateway Theater Building Services Supervisor. Here you go. All right. Hey, Blood of Kings fans. This is Kevin here. I'm in Vancouver area, right outside. Where are we exactly? Richmond?
Vancouver?
Yes. We are in Richmond, right outside of Vancouver here in Canada, doing the Seacouver 2019 tour with my buddy Andy here. And we are at a very cool location that Highlander fans know very, very well. We're at the Gateway Theater, which in Season 3, Episode Song of the Executioner, we've got the famous fight between Callus and Duncan, where it takes him up to the balcony area, and Anne comes in as Duncan is falling to his death to try and not be beheaded. And with me, I have a special guest. I have Paul Bartlett. Paul, how are you today?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Now, Paul, you are the building services supervisor here, and you know the history of this theater very well. Tell me about the beginning of that.
Well, up until 1984, the city of Richmond had no live theater building. And when it was opened in September 1984, the Gateway Theater Society runs the building, I should say, for the city of Richmond. And it's a live theater. And we started in the early 90s to try and get movie and theater, things other than theater. And the Highlander episode that was filmed here was our first major television production.
But you had theaters here.
Yes, we had
theater
live
productions.
We have live, up until that time, yeah. We had live theater.
And when did the theater open again?
1984, September.
And you've been here since then?
I've been there since the opening.
Wow, that is, yeah, that's fantastic.
It'll be 35 years in this year.
That's very, very cool. Okay, so tell me what you remember when the production for Highlander first contacted you guys about doing this. And first of all, had you heard of Highlander?
I had heard of, you know, seen the first and second, a few
movies.
Episodes, but didn't really know anything about it until our general manager said, you know, they're coming to film an episode here. So that was quite an eye-opener when they first arrived, because they had well over 100 production staff.
Wow.
And plus the actors.
Well, before they arrived here, what kind of notice did you get? Was it like a week before, 2 weeks before?
They sent out, I believe it was a location scout.
Mm.
I'm not sure how long that was before they decided to actually film here.
Right.
And he or she, I guess, decided that it would be a good location, and they spent quite a few days here deciding with the producers and the director and the director of photography to ascertain whether it was right for them, and
right.
They decided it was. So they booked the theater for 7 days and came in, I think it was a Sunday, to a Saturday.
Mm, very
and,
cool.
Yeah, and they brought everything. They brought the costumes, set, lighting, sound. They even had a caterer here in our studio. So we got some free lunches on
that's very cool.
Highlander production.
So company. What were some of your duties when they arrived? What were you up to?
My duties and the other fellow that I worked with at the time, we were basically to keep the washrooms for the actors clean and mm-hmm. the dressing rooms, again, the washrooms. We really didn't have much to do in terms of like cleaning the rest of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Once they were in, they brought everybody their own cleaning staff, and
wow.
So it was pretty much sit around and.
It sounded like they were a well-oiled machine. And
yes,
came
they
in
were
everything they wanted.
Very well organized, and they came in and you know they set everything up, and when they said we're going to film between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on Monday. They did, and the
cool.
actors and production staff worked right through, and, you know, they would stop for lunch, but other than that, they worked right through.
Did you get to experience any of the filming itself, or did they keep all the staff away?
They asked us not to really be in the areas where they were filming.
Mm-hmm.
So we were basically on the side. I did see some episode. I met the star.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Adrian Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice gentleman. Was very polite and signed autographs if we wanted to. But we were basically not allowed to watch the filming.
Did they? Now there was obviously the famous scene where Adrian Paul, Duncan MacLeod's character. And Andy, if you want to get a shot over here, where he falls to his death because he's about to be decapitated, and he doesn't want to do that because he'll really die when that happens. And character of Anne Lindsay witnesses that. Did you know that that type of stunt was going on? And did you asked about that at all?
Not. They had planned that themselves, and we really didn't have anything to do with it.
Gotcha.
Our production manager was involved. He's no longer here, unfortunately, with us. But they had the thing to rig all the harnesses that they used up in the... but I was not involved in
that. Gotcha. Now, tell me a little bit about... Okay, so they go through the whole process. Tell me about towards the end of it, you know when they were filming the end of the scenes that they needed to do. What kind of other responsibilities did you have until they finished up?
Once they'd filmed the scenes that they wanted, I and my colleague were responsible for cleaning the building.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they were very helpful. They had staff that assisted us.
Gotcha.
And they had, if I remember correctly, they did have to paint some of the balcony railings where they'd scraped it with.
Gotcha.
But they, you know, paid for that. They were very good about that.
And, very cool.
I don't think you would have known that they were even here unless you actually saw the finished episode.
That's important. Now, you had mentioned there had been some other television productions here. Do you remember some of those?
We've done quite a few commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was, I believe it was Smallville.
Smallville,
yeah. That was our last thing where they... That was quite interesting because they, in one scene... It actually follows the bullet down to the character's head.
Oh, wow.
And they had, from just below the balcony, right across the stage, they had a camera rigged on a wire.
Oh, wow, very cool.
Yeah, and they followed it.
So you got the bullet view as it came
you
down.
You got the bullet view as the thing, and then the look of, you know, of him going, oh, my God, and... That was, I actually saw them film that. That was quite interesting how they did that.
Interesting. That's so cool.
And that was probably our longest production because it took them a week to actually rig everything up. They had to bury anchors in the concrete wall.
Gotcha.
So that took a week and then a week of actual filming. So it was quite interesting.
Question on the episode of Highlander, I wanted to ask you. Obviously, Andy... is the super fan here, and he's been a wonderful tour guide for this, the Seacouver tour, as we're calling it here. Have you had any other Highlander fans come to this theater and ask about it?
No. All the fans that have come with Andy, and he's arranged the tours.
Gotcha.
We've never had, at least not that I know of, anybody come and independently.
It's kind of a hidden little secret then. That's really cool. Yeah.
Well, that's been one of our problems for the last 35 years. Even theater goers don't know that there's a theater here in Richmond. So,
right.
Yeah, they may have wanted to come and just missed it.
Well, looking at the theater, it's a classic style theater. You definitely can do stage productions. You can do concerts. Have you ever done movies here?
Yes, we have done a number of movie shoots. Can't remember the names of them, but but mostly television and commercials.
Gotcha. Yeah. You know what you need to do? Like out in the lobby, you need to put pictures up of the stuff that was filmed here. Like, you know, the famous scene from the Song of the Executioner, maybe the scene from Smallville. You know, that'd be really cool.
Unfortunately, we didn't save any or take any pictures of the various productions that... I don't know why, but we did take pictures of our own shows. But
right.
Unfortunately, we've never...
We might have to rectify that, Andy. We might have to get him a picture.
Yeah, we need to get the episodes on DVD and take screenshots.
Andy, did you have any other questions I missed?
No, I don't have
You're good? All right. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, I really appreciate your help and your patronage for letting us come in here. It's a beautiful theater. And if you guys are, if there's anyone listening that is from the Vancouver area, please look into this theater. It is absolutely beautiful, and you should definitely see a production here. Well, thank you so much, sir.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right. All right, we hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Paul Bartlett, the Gateway Theater Building Services Supervisor. They're on the set with Song of the Executioner episode of the famous fight between Duncan and Kalis. We hope you guys have enjoyed these interviews. This has been a lot of fun talking about the Seacouver Tour Chronicles. I also wanted to give a special thanks again to Andy Sloan. It was great to do this adventure with him. I'd been to Vancouver once before back in the early 2000s, and it was nice. I always told myself I got to go back and visit the city. And I got to tell you, there is no better way to visit Vancouver than with Andy Sloan, because he takes you everywhere. We went downtown. We went outside of the city. We crossed over many different bridges. There's a lot of bridges there in Vancouver. We got to go up into the tall buildings and check out alleys. And I got to tell you right now, my nickname for Vancouver is the City of Alleys, because they really perfect the alleyway system there. And being a Highlander fan, you recognize a lot of those alleys there. It's just a beautiful city. And as I said before, we were blessed with wonderful weather. It was nice because it wasn't too hot. It was like kind of like high 50s, that kind of jacket weather. So we got to wear our leather jackets, our Highlander leather jackets all the time without being too hot. It was just wonderful. The downtown area was nice too. Great places to eat. Highly recommend if you get a chance to visit Vancouver. But I recommend contacting Andy Sloan and check out his tour. It's totally worth it. It's so much fun. And I want to thank Andy again. Well, before we go, of course, I want to thank our special guest, Jay Brazzo and Paul Bartlett. Really hope you guys have enjoyed the Seacouver Tour Chronicles. I'm Kevin, and on behalf of my guests, Jay Brazzo and Paul Bartlett, thanks again for everyone for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Jay, Paul, that sensation you are feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are brothers. Goodbye, everyone.